Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one audio source for Harry Potter news, theories, discussion, as well as info straight from the makers of the books and films themselves, like me, Matt Lewis. I play Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films, and I'm very happy to be here helping introduce your hosts, the Pottercast trio, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Inching ever closer to the day that Harry Potter changes forever.
No!
We are here with Pottercast number 86! Welcome, I'm Melissa, here's John and Sue. As usual, we have your weekly dose of Potter fun and theory and craziness. Especially crazy today, John seems to be on a kick, I'm giving you a warning. Okay, see, do you hear this? Okay. In this week's show, we have another fan interview. We think we finally have our reaction about the cover art with our very own Steve Vanterark. We have your... What's the voicemail challenge this week, John?
Who got you into Harry Potter?
How you got into Harry Potter, so that should be a nice segment to listen to. And of course, before we do anything, we've got to hear from our friends at Borders.
It won't be long before the much-anticipated release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Do you have your mind made up where Severus Snape's loyalties lie? Do you think he'll betray Harry and his friends? Or will he help them to triumph over he who must not be named? Find out more about this complex character in the hot new book, The Great Snape Debate, available only at Borders. Remember to reserve Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows at Borders to save 40% off.
Loving the backing track by John.
Yes.
Hey, Sue, didn't you get this book recently?
I did, and I am reading it as we speak. Well, not right this
time. Didn't Orson Scott Card write something in it?
It's good. It's really a cool... Yes, he did. The author of Ender's Game is one of the contributing... in this book. It's actually very pretty good. There's a two-sided book, The Case for Snape's Innocence, and then it talks about is he your, you know, Harry Potter's friends and all the different things, and then there's The Case for His Guilt, and it's, you know, for me, it's hard because I'm trying to read with an open mind on one stance that I have, and I keep finding myself arguing with the book as I'm reading it, which is not good, but it's actually pretty interesting.
Well, does the book mention the definitive proof that Snape is good from the scene in Prisoner of Azkaban? When Lupin transforms and Snape gets up and protects the trio by putting his hands out?
Strangely enough, that's not in there.
Well, that totally proves everything,
okay.
Because why would Jar written that into the book if that didn't prove his innocence?
Wait, was that in the book?
Guys.
Well, it's in the movie. Of course it was in the book.
Oh, I see.
Oh, we're not starting that this week. Okay. Thank you. We'll have more information about that book, I am sure, in the next few weeks. Before we have a couple of quick announcements, as always, fun stuff. Phoenix Rising is coming. May 17th to 20th. Registration is closed. If you are going, remember that we will have a live Pottercast right after the opening dinner on May 17th. It's going to be so much fun.
Yes.
Matt Majacimo, who is the Whomping Willows, is playing an acoustic set.
Ooh.
Draco, one of the Draco Malfoys, is playing an acoustic set in the middle of the show. Also, we just now, this is the big event that we've sort of been teasing about. We just verified, and I really, really hope that I'm not screwing something up by announcing this right now, but midnight after the live Pottercast, we're going to open a room in the convention hall at some point, and we're all just going to sit on the floor, and all the Wizard Rock fans in attendance, that's the Remus Lupins, Draco and the Malfoys, the Whomping Willows, the Moaning Myrtles, the Parcel Mouths, are going to come with acoustic instruments, and we're just going to have like a sing-along and a fun...
Whatever
time we want to be, and play fun songs and sing and dance.
That will be so much fun. I'm so excited.
Totally informal. You can wear pajamas if you want. You can wear, you know,
can
whatever.
Can we take our pants off?
No. No. And, it's not official programming, but we just, it's going to be sponsored by Leaky and Pottercast. We just emailed the people at Phoenix Rising and said, hey, we'd like to do this. Are you down? They were so nice and so cool. They said, yeah, let's do it. And it's going to be so much fun because we want to just... It's New Orleans.
Hi, baby.
Come on, it's New Orleans. We have to relax and
music,
and
baby. Big Easy knows all about music. So what a perfect place for Wizard Rock like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, and those guys are great because they were so into it immediately. They're like, yeah, of course we'll do that. You know, so that's awesome. Lots of fun. We'll have more information, I think, about where it will be. Also, Podcast Alley. dig.com. Do the voting for us thing, because that means that we like you a lot more.
Yes.
And
you get special treats.
Yeah, and yeah, stuff. Links in our show notes.
Yes.
Another, oh God, guys, I'm sorry, our announcements are on, I was trying to make them fun here. HarryPotter7.com, go read about Deathly Hallows and donate to our literacy drive. Wizard Rock EP of the Month Club. You get 12 CDs for $50, and I'm sure there's going to be extras. That's WizardRockClub.com. Also, there's another new combination CD with unheard music from all these great bands on a CD called Wizards and Muggles Rock for Social Justice. They're raising money for the Harry Potter Alliance, which is a group that recently sort of, you've heard about on Pottercast before, but they've recently sort of rejiggered their MO, which is that they're trying to just encourage other people to use their mutual love of Harry Potter to achieve social and humanitarian and educational goals. And it's really looking like a great organization that's in its real startup phases. So you'll hear more about them in the future, we are sure. But go check them out at myspace.com/cheaprent.
Woo!
Also, we just announced we are going to be doing a Leaky Mug at Prophecy, the convention in Toronto, Canada.
Woo!
Oh, wow, excitement. August 1st through 6th. So, no, that's when our reservation is. August 2nd through 5th, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll be in town from August 1st through 6th, so come hang out. It's gonna be so much fun with the MuggleCast guys again. We'll be making fun of each other and fighting publicly. That's what we do.
Awesome.
No,
we never fight.
Not at all.
Check leakymug.com for more information on that event.
Okay. So can we go on with our show now? Jeez, guys, would you stop doing announcements already? You're boring the heck out of me.
I'd love to hear some news from Suze.
Thestrals and centaurs and Voldemort in a suit. Oh my. These are among the many astonishing new images contained in a brand new international trailer for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Warner Brothers has released this brand new trailer via AOL UK, and you can find links to watch this and screen caps and so much more by clicking on our website to check out this incredible excitement. As we've told you, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix will be released in theaters on July 13th. Speaking of the movie, there was an announcement this week that not only will the film be opening in both conventional theaters and IMAX as announced previously, but now the last 20 minutes of this film are to be shown in IMAX in 3D. As readers of the series know, this segment of the book involves battle at the Ministry of Magic in London, so this should be quite the spectacular thing to behold indeed. Also, several new summer movie previews were released this week, including a new bit in Entertainment Weekly magazine that showed a new photo from the movie. We now have the high-res version of this, showing Harry walking by the Hogwarts Express with a worried-looking Ron and Hermione looking on. You can see this in our extensive galleries, which features all the stills from the movies as well as images of the trailers, a new Order of the Phoenix IMAX poster, and new looks at the upcoming Order of the Phoenix video game as well. Turning to book news, the New York Times had a new interview with Scholastic CEO Richard Robinson over the weekend, where he spoke of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows book, noting, quote, "We can believe this is the last book on Harry Potter," end quote. When asked if they had the first option on any other forthcoming books by J.K. Rowling, he responded, quote, "No, but we refer to ourselves as her U.S. publishers, and she's very loyal to us, and we're very loyal to her. We'll keep working together. It's less likely we won't get it. It's more likely it won't be another Harry Potter," end quote. Finally, in actor news now, the play Equus, starring Dan Radcliffe and Richard Griffiths, will come to an end in London on June 9th. There is talk that the play will move over here to Broadway in summer of 2008. Mr. Radcliffe and Mr. Griffiths would reprise their roles in New York, but that has yet to be confirmed. We will update once we get more information on this either way. Well, for more information on all things Harry Potter, you can always find it at leakynews.com, which is updated continually. Guys?
Thank you, Sue, for that news. Before we go on, I wanted to take a moment. You know, Leaky is a global website, and sometimes when tragedies happen around the world that are global events, we stop and we post about them. So we're really glad that we have this more personal venue to say that everybody at Leaky and everybody at Pottercast hearts and prayers and thoughts are with the victims' families and the victims of the terrible Virginia Tech tragedy. We know that a lot of you are in college, mm-hmm. and a lot of you are very personally affected by this horrible situation, and we just are praying for your strength. You know, one of the things that Harry Potter teaches us is that friends are what gets you through things like this. Friends, hope, courage, and belief that the good side will win. So we hope that you can find solace in this series at this terrible time. And please know that your Pottercast friends and your Leaky friends and all your Harry Potter friends are with you. On that note, we want to read a very special email that we got. We don't usually do this kind of thing, but we got this beautiful email and we just wanted to make sure it got its due. So Sue, you want to do that?
Right. Okay. It says, "Hi, Pottercast. I love you all. I love John's song about Sue's news. I just wanted to thank you guys so much because you've taken me away from the hostile environment of my school. After Virginia Tech, several rumors started circulating about my school about several gun threats. I felt very unsafe and have dreaded going to school. But I have been listening to you and Mugglecast, and you have made me feel so much better because you guys can make me laugh at a time when laughter is a hard thing to do. So thank you so much for putting out these shows because they have and will help me get through this week and next week. I love spaghetti! Carolyn."
Apparently she loves spaghetti.
Well,
love that she loves spaghetti.
Yes, she does.
Which was really why we ate it to begin with.
That's right, because we're plugging pasta. We love pasta.
We are very, very pro spaghetti over here.
Yeah. Come on,
that's
here.
True.
Yes. I make pasta like nobody. Nobody's business. Carolyn, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Email like that makes everything, all the work on Leaky and Pottercast and everything 100% with it.
And so.
Woot.
We should have like a big spaghetti party. That would be awesome one day. You ever have spaghetti parties?
I'll make the pesto.
That'd be great.
My pesto is a force. A force. You could smell the garlic clear to California.
Garlic.
Were we talking about terrible world tragedies or garlic?
I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing.
I don't know. Okay.
But we do have some positive things to talk about. Something very happy news. Speaking of that, we have a new trailer, ladies and gentlemen. Yay!
I knew it.
I don't even know where to start to begin to describe.
Seriously, it all happened really fast.
Yes.
We just saw it on YouTube. The Thestrals we saw.
Starts out with some Thestrals.
Flying. It was extraordinary amounts of new things. I mean, just, wow.
Riding towards the castle.
Yeah. We saw Miss Umbridge. You know, she's just... Melba Staunton, the way she walks. They show her, she's walking down the hallway and just, you know.
She's all perky.
There are all her little pinkness.
Yeah.
Waddling down.
A little tooth, clicky-clacking.
Yes, she runs.
I know.
Clicking,
breaking up the kids who are making out. Don't make it out in the halls at Hogwarts.
Yeah, I think she zaps them. You know, she does some sort of, like, little break-apart spell or something. We don't know what it is, but...
But that's pretty Snape. That's what Snape does in number four.
He you know? Whacks Ron on the head or somebody in the wet.
I know, real hard.
Ron gets toasted in this trailer.
He does.
Yeah.
You got the twins taking
off.
No,
I'm sorry. Ron actually has a funny line in this trailer.
Uh-oh.
With perfect delivery. I love it. Perfect delivery, Rupert Grint.
You know.
Who are you and what have you done with Hermione Granger?
Yeah.
That perfect, like, wry Ron wit.
It is.
I love it.
You know,
because it's not exactly the most original, like, you know, people say that all the time. It's very conversational. It's not like an original phrase. Who are you and what have you done with blah, 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 blah. But that delivery was fantastic.
It was Ron. It's not, you know, shrieking away and, you know, making his little face things. I mean, it was the Ron that...
It's funnier, too, in the context of the magical world because people are polyjuiced all the time.
you could
totally be somebody else, you know?
He should totally, like, start, like, checking to see if she's growing back other people's hair.
Yeah, he could have been serious.
Right.
Who are you? What have you done with Hermione Granger? I love it, too.
But, speaking of, like, you know, the trio and then what about the DA? We saw scenes of the DA and...
Oh, God,
they're
doing crazy stuff.
Wow. But just that Patronus.
Did you see Luna and her Patronus?
Yeah.
Oh, I love
it. Awesome.
I love it.
I like the part where the twins were escaping the Great Hall.
Yes.
It's pretty great.
All the fireworks and stuff.
That was awesome. That was cool. You see how they were pounding? You know, there was that hammer, the shot of, like, Filch pounding the hammer, you know, for the proclamation.
Yeah,
whatever.
That was weird.
And then they kept cutting it back and forth, and then there goes Fred and George. I mean, I can't wait for that scene. I think that's...
I know.
But did you see that wall of proclamations, how amazing that was?
Oh, yeah.
Freaking, that is fantastic. I mean, we talk about, Michael Goldenberg talked in the interview about the hundreds and thousands of people who sit and make sure every detail is right. And we can say, from being on the set and seeing these things, there's no detail. I mean, somebody handmade every single one of those proclamations.
That's so
read
cool.
A real proclamation, every single one. And, you know, this is so intricately done that's why you get huge, huge scenes and shots like that.
Yeah.
But this, I cannot believe the amount of tension they ratcheted into one, like, what was it, 2 minutes
yeah.
or something?
Yeah.
Not even.
It's
amazing.
It's crazy. And I mean, the films are, you know, coming out in IMAX and 3D and everything, and it's like you're going to see all that detail.
I know.
Like, they have to put in that detail.
Yeah, that's one of the other bits of news. That the last 20 minutes of Order of the Phoenix, if you go to see it in IMAX, are going to be shown in 3D.
That's so cool.
Now, let's think. Why exactly would they do that? Let me think. Is there some big battle in the ministry
yeah,
or something?
Think, maybe.
All the kids.
I heard that.
Dumbledore and Voldemort. Oh, God.
I just hope they don't do, like, a real, like, hey, we're shooting in 3D. Let's make a real crazy 3D shots, you know, like
oh,
people randomly throwing things into the camera. Like, if they put the camera behind the veil and make you-know-who... like flying towards the audience.
No.
I'm going to be pissed because that's going to be so lame. I'm going to be like, don't do that.
I don't think that they'll have that part. I think it'll be more like we saw glimpses of like, you know, things flying about in the ministry. I think those are the scenes that we'll see in 3D.
Oh, yeah,
3D,
that'll be really
you know?
Cool. All the prophecies flying.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it'll be just the battle, like the globes, maybe the globes exploding or something, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just the confrontation between Voldemort and Dumbledore and Harry. I don't...
The so confrontation cool. between Voldemort. Oh my!
That was
I mean, I get
so
shivers.
Cool. The parts we saw.
Yes. Thinking about
Voldemort throwing
yes.
his arms back and like
yes.
all the
oh.
glass in the Ministry shattering.
Yes.
Dear God, it's gonna be.
God.
And imagine all that glass in 3D coming at
no.
you.
No. Wow.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So cool.
Oh my gosh! I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't.
Well, speaking
I
of
can't.
Voldemort, you see in the trailer how Carlos was.
Yes.
A statement was confirmed about Voldemort wearing the suit.
It was. There he was, in a suit!
Well, it makes sense now because it's like Harry's just having visions and seeing
right.
Voldemort everywhere. And it's like it's more than visions. He's seeing it in what's actually,
which
you know, happening,
is,
like real time.
And that is a really, because that's not what happened in the
no,
book.
No, it's not.
But if you think
no.
about the book, it is a it's really hard to start going into like his dream and the
right.
feelings that you can't really put that visually, but to make it that he's seeing Voldemort everywhere is just a perfect
and
translation.
Seeing him in himself.
It's great. That's a great. I mean, talk about taking it from literal to the real spirit, and I think to make it a film,
yeah.
that's the kind of thing that's necessary.
Exactly.
You know,
I agree. But the way just fine standing there. I mean, he's still the personification of evil, even if he's wearing this black suit. And that stark contrast between his white face and his suit, I just thought that was,
yeah.
wow.
He
know.
Doesn't have a nose.
No, he doesn't. But.
Armani for Wizards.
You know. I saw the awesome shot of the of Azkaban also, too.
Yes, John, I was waiting
like
for you to talk
about
that.
The big A for Azkaban.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we saw a picture of it on the Daily Prophet.
Oh, okay.
But this is a stupid question, but who is the person in the door of Azkaban that's just kind of hanging out there?
I think it's Sirius.
Well, why?
No, it would be one of the
back?
Other Destinies.
Oh,
would
yeah,
it,
probably
would it be,
you're right.
Would it be Lestrange?
Would it be Bellatrix?
She could be wearing this, like a shift and weird hair, and it might just be, it's really hard to see.
That could be
when
Bellatrix.
We see it in high def, we'll probably...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was really quick. It just went really, really fast, and I don't know. But we did see Bellatrix later. There's one quick shot of her on that we saw, for sure, just
yeah.
like flailing arms around, so.
We see the centaurs, too.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Centaurs.
Which will be fun. We haven't seen them
battle
in forever.
With the centaurs. Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, I can't
centaurs,
even.
Centaurs, like,
even.
Fully realized with, you know, oh, man, it's going to be so cool.
Oh, I know you get it. It's easy to get excited because that's the whole point of these trailers, to build up anticipation, you know, for the movies. But
yeah.
I just seeing this just on this scale just really gives me a lot of hope for this film. I don't, you know, I mean.
Do you know, I'm starting to reverse my opinion on whether this is an easy or hard book to translate. I understand there's a lot of information, but when there's all that much information and you condense it like that, it might make for the most thrilling.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Oh, it looks
so
like it's easily
more
the most
dense.
Thrilling so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, because when you watch all those shots, you're reminded of just how many amazing things are in this film.
Right.
Yeah.
The flight, the fight of the ministry, the veil, the prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen them yet, but Grock, you know. Oh, God.
Yeah, there's
just
so much.
There's so much.
It's really the most cinematic, I think, so far of the books. Like, even the Goblet with all of its, you know, tasks. I mean, the Goblet, you know, to be the one to come before is getting the at least the movie-going Harry Potter audience ready to see actual huge climaxes and big confrontations in the end. There was a big one in Goblet, but this was a battle between the two most powerful wizards
right.
on the planet. It's like, that's something that you can really build up to and just have it explode on screen.
Right.
So like versus, you know, Azkaban, where like the big confrontation is kind of like, oh, it's serious, oh, and then he actually is good. And it's like, it reads awesome as a book, but, you know, some people, you know, looking for an action movie, you know, it's probably, they're not going to really enjoy it as much. But this is just, an event, some of the big scenes in this movie, it looks like.
Well, I think
the whole ministry scene's going to be just crazy cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the detail, because we saw a glimpse of the wizened gamut, I think, when he said, again, when Dumbledore's saying, you know, that the evidence is incontrovertible or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought, detail on the floor.
Is that Fudge up there we saw?
Yeah, and Fudge is saying, denying that Voldemort's back. But.
Well, I still think my favorite special effect shot so far that I've seen in any Harry Potter movie is Dumbledore and Fox transforming away.
Yeah.
And turning into fire. That transformation is so cool. It's like my favorite scene out of the whole, like that whole book pretty much.
Right.
But explain me one thing, because everybody appeared to be conscious during that
yes, they did, don't they?
Scene. And I'm trying to figure out which one is my Dolly. And
on the right. He's on the right.
On the right, you think?
I think so.
I don't have to.
Because
weird
like,
hair. Of course everybody's conscious. It's more exciting.
It is more exciting, but who's trying to stop them? It's like, oh no, don't leave.
Yeah.
It's like, you got Kingsley and Dawlish in there. They would try to stop them. They see Fox coming.
Are
they
you
stupefy
kidding?
Fox.
Why would Dawlish wouldn't?
Hey, Kingsley wouldn't stop him. Dawlish is inept.
Yeah.
No
Dawlish
sense.
Is not inept. Yeah. Who the hell are you?
Dumbledore makes fun of how inept Dawlish is.
No, Dawlish says,
against, okay,
I know you're
inept,
awesome, Dawlish, but I'm
against
still more
Dumbledore.
Awesome.
But against Dumbledore. And also, who has got the handy counter charm to Dumbledore turning into Fox and flying away? You know, like, nobody...
Right.
How do you...
It's
how
not
going
to be
operator.
It's
what,
not going
to be
Fudge,
to us,
you know?
What we're made to assume is that this is, like, the kind of deer in headlights kind of thing. That's like, they're so
you're
shocked.
You're never made to
something
assume
is happening.
Anything if you assume it's your fault.
Well, no, they're just standing there watching this happen. So we're
for
supposed
all
to
we
figure
know,
out that they're so stunned.
No,
that
for all we know,
happened.
It's like a split second. Like, he blasted people away, turned around, boom, he's gone, and nobody has a chance to react.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
They're certainly putting their time in and effort in on the production of this, it seems. Very thrilled. Because, I mean, there were sparks even flying when Fred and George, I mean, you could just see that. Boom, boom.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
A lot of that kind of effects. Lots of, you know, it's called particles animation, and you see it everywhere when, you know, the water, the Patronuses, the fire, all of that stuff.
Bravo.
Well, but this time around, more than any, they're very aware of HD.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and now with the advent of the technology, it's very important to get all these little, such an effects-heavy thing. But, like, for instance, I just have to give props because the Fred and George scene, I really worried that it would get cut.
Yeah.
Because it's not totally essential,
no, it's not.
To be honest. But it's such a fabulous scene, but they really did it, and it looks like they did it right.
So, can we talk about one other bit of news? The trailer's fabulous, and we'll have all the stuff up, and we'll have screen caps and all the whole thing. So, let's talk about the book. There was an interview with the CEO of Scholastic, Richard Robinson, and he said that he believes that this is, in fact, Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows is, in fact, the last book on Harry Potter. I know that there have been rumors and kind of hopes that, oh, she'll come back with an eighth, but we saw a new interview with him, so I thought that was really...
I think if Joe wanted to do her encyclopedia, then she wouldn't have to get permission from the CEO first.
Well, I think he means, like, plot story. There might very well be an encyclopedia, maybe for charity or something.
Well, no one thought that there would ever be an eighth book, though, did they?
Well, but there have been rumors floating forever. I mean, it's just...
Well, it's just people, it's sort of uninformed people who are, like, new to the fandom, like, oh, is there going to be an eighth book?
Right.
And it's, like, the first thing you learn when you get into fandom. There's no eighth book. It should, like, come with a manual.
Right.
There's no eighth book. Harry and Hermione are not getting together. You know, stuff like that.
Okay, we've gotten scores of emails, and we have to say this. Equus, the play starring Dan Radcliffe and Richard Griffiths, is going to end on June 9th. At this time, we do not know. It's not been officially confirmed that this play will, that the play is going to Broadway, but we do not know. It's not been confirmed that Dan and Richard Griffiths will reprise their roles.
Would not count on it.
Yeah,
because next spring...
It's a long time away.
Oh, gosh.
You know?
It's a very long time away, and they have movies to make.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, there's been talk of replacing the actors, and they're not doing that. They're just ending the play on June 9th. They're going to take it. The play's going to go on tour in the UK, but it'll have a different actor altogether. But we don't know, so don't get excited that to book your tickets for fall 2008 to go see Dan, because we don't know if he's actually going to be there or not. So, although it would be cool.
Okay, guys, it's real late here.
Yes.
I know we went on trailer craziness.
Yes, we did.
So we have your reactions to stuff. Maybe a Kenny conundrum.
Woo!
A short one. And we'll be back.
Hello, my name is Crystal Hoover, 13, from Arlington Heights, Illinois, and I was first introduced to Harry Potter in 1999, when I was in first grade. I've always loved reading, so when my Aunt Miriam, who was 3 years older than me, was telling my mom how much she loved the books, my mom decided to get me the first 3 books for Christmas. I've been in love with the series ever since. Thank you, Miriam, for changing my life forever.
Yo, what up, Potter Cats? It's Daddy Bones out in Binghamton, New York. And I'd just like to leave a message explaining what exactly got me into the Harry Potter series. Well, I guess I had to take a bus from Albany to Binghamton just as Sorcerer's Stone was hitting theaters. And I picked up a Game Pro magazine that was going through a 10-page special, you know, explaining the video game for the upcoming movie. And I really got into the series after the first movie by reading the books. And here we are.
Hello, I am CBM from the Lounge, and it was J.K. Rowling who got me turned on to reading Harry Potter. It was Christmas Eve, 1999. I was having a hard time finding my wife a present, and I was no longer in the Christmas spirit, driving around trying to figure out what to do. I started looking for something other than carols on the radio to listen to, so I turned on the NPR, and Diane Rehm was interviewing an English children's author. The author started reading part of her book. It was the wand shop scene. Were Ollivanders from Sorcerer's Stone, and I was enthralled. After waiting for the interview to end, I immediately rushed to my nearest Borders and purchased Sorcerer's Stone. I have been a fan ever since. Thank you.
Hey PotterCast, my name is Sarah, also known as DanRadFan20 on Leaky. The person that introduced me to Harry Potter was my mom. Way back in 1998, 9 years ago, I started reading Harry Potter. I cannot believe it has been 9 years, but these last 9 years have been the most exciting years of my life. Without Harry Potter, I don't know how my life would have been different. I probably would have been bored, but I just want to say thank you, Mom, for buying me my very first Harry Potter book.
This is Rich from California, and I was introduced to the HP series by my friend Devitt. About a year or so before the first movie came out, he gave me a copy of Book 1, though at the time I was unable to get through the first few pages. A few months later, after I saw the trailer for the first movie, I was going to finally read the book, but decided against it, since movies are rarely as good as the books, and I didn't really want to ruin the movie at the time. After seeing the film, I proceeded to read and finish the book that night. A couple of days later, I bought a set of the first 4 books and ended up reading books 2, 3, and 4 over the next 3 days. Since that point, I've pretty much frustrated and exasperated my friend with constant theories, insights, and critiques of the books, to the point where he's probably considered beating me over the head with a book he gave me at times to prevent himself from going mad. Well, that's my story.
Hey, PotterCast. This is Michelle from Miami, Florida. My brother is the one who introduced me to Harry Potter. He had to read Sorcerer's Stone for school, and he told me that I had to read this book because it was really good. So Andy, it's all your fault that my room looks like a Harry Potter store, that the Wizarding World is so engraved in me that I unconsciously think of the post office as the Muggle Post, and that Harry Potter has taken over my life for the past 5 years. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for introducing me to Harry Potter, because it's been the best experience ever.
Hey PotterCast, I'm Ian, and I'll be 20 by the time Deathly Hallows comes out. But when I got my first Harry Potter book, it was Christmas 1999, and I was 12. My mom got me the book for Christmas because she'd heard about it and thought I would like it. But when I opened it, I took one look at it and thought there was no way I would ever read a book like this. See, I had recently started reading books from the young adult section of the library and thought I was way too good for some children's book about a wizard. However, about a week later, I got sick and was just lying around the house, nothing to do, totally bored, when I remembered the Harry Potter book. I figured I'd give it a try, but didn't think I would like it at all. So I started reading the first chapter, and next time I looked up from the book, I think it was around about the Mirror of Erised, but I just stopped for a quick snack break and went right back to reading. And now, here I am, about 7.5 years later, more obsessed than ever.
Hello, this is Kimberly Blair, and I am here with Angela, otherwise known as Corey3Us, who is a member around Leaky. She, if you might remember, was the one who wrote the Time Turner theory that was read back a few PowerCasts ago in the big long mailbag about the new Deathly Hallows series. How are you doing today, Angela?
I'm good.
I just wanted to start off by reading the email that you wrote into PotterCast that episode to kind of remind our listeners what it is that you talked about.
Okay.
My theory about the title is that Harry will discover that he must go back to the night where everything began for him, October 31st, 1981. Harry will use a time turner. J.K. said in an interview that she wouldn't rule out time turners in another book, and seeing as this is the last, to get there. I'm not sure if someone else was with him or not. There he will gain some kind of knowledge or assistance, as Harry was the one outside the Potters the night Lily and James died. Harry was the one who informed Dumbledore about what had happened. This is how Dumbledore knew what he must do with baby Harry. This would have been an extremely difficult task for him because he would want to save his parents, but if he did, there would be no world left as we know it. That was your email, which I remember when they read on the podcast and I was listening to it, I was just like, wow. And I think, like, my brain exploded due to thought and all these things. So I was one of it was very popular. They talked about it in the next episode. There's just some discussion on the forum. So now that you've had a few weeks to reflect on this theory, do you have any changes to it? Have you kind of refined it, rethought it based on feedback or just your own personal thoughts?
I have broadened it more and changed a couple things because I wasn't quite satisfied with the original theory that I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so things just didn't fit for me. So I changed it a bit.
Do you want to let us in on your new sort of theory?
Harry will find a time travel device, probably from somewhere in Dumbledore's belongings.
Mm-hmm.
He will go to Godric's Hollow to visit his parents' graves, where he will find his/James's cloak somewhere around where the house was. This will make him realize that he has to go back in time to ensure that James gives Dumbledore his invisibility cloak. He leaves one cloak with Ron and Hermione and takes the other back to the morning of October 31st, 1981. Once there, he will meet his parents and the 1981 Dumbledore. James will give Dumbledore the cloak and Lily will tell Harry the importance of having her eyes. They will also discuss why the Potters have to die and a plan for removing Harry from the house. Harry and Dumbledore go to leave, but Harry wants to stay, not to watch what happens, but to bury his parents after they die. Harry and Dumbledore are the ones outside the house when the Potters were killed, Harry under the cloak that he brought back with him, and Dumbledore doing whatever he does to make himself invisible. They go in to get the Potters' bodies after they die, where Harry takes off the cloak and lays it down by his father, while Dumbledore goes to get Lily and check on baby Harry. Snape comes in to check that Lily is okay, but finds Harry there instead. Harry snaps and attacks Snape. There they fire a few spells at one another, which destroys much of the house before Dumbledore breaks it up. During the fight, we learn that Snape loved Lily and made some kind of a deal with Voldemort to save her life. This is why Dumbledore trusts Snape. They leave the house and Dumbledore sends a message to Hagrid, who is waiting not too far away, to get baby Harry and care for him until he is left with the Dursleys. They then bury the Potters and Harry returns to his time with new knowledge and peace about his parents' death.
Hmm. Very interesting. Now, you mentioned to me that, you know, which I thought was very interesting, that you often don't go on the forums and read the different theories and that and such because you don't want it to change, to influence your own theory, so then you go, oh, you know, maybe that's possible, like, which is what often happens with myself reading fan fiction. I often don't read it because I get confused as to what is canon, what's not canon, and I get all these different theories. So what is it that sort of influenced you to come up with these different changes?
Well, I get everything either from the books itself or from things that Joe has said. Because same as you, I don't like getting other people's thoughts that aren't actually real in my head, just way too confusing. So it's every time I read the books, I pull out something new. I'm reading it, it's like, oh, right. And that goes back to that, and then it's just this whole, it's basically kind of fitting a puzzle together with different pieces from different books is what it's like for me.
Okay. Do you have any reason you want to talk about as to why you changed different aspects of the theory? Or...
No, it was just whenever I come up with a theory, I'll get like this little brain burst. Okay, this is what it is. And then it's I have like this need to want to go and find facts to back it up from the book. So I go through and I have all these lists of different things all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Little notes, and it's like, okay, that comes in here, that would fit here, that would fit here, like with the part about what I said about making him realize that he has to go back in time
mm-hmm.
to ensure that James gives the cloak to Dumbledore. Well, if Harry never got that cloak,
yep,
he couldn't have done anything.
Yeah.
Because that cloak was a major part.
Yeah, we see it in every book being used.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then... like, the other thing that really made me zone in on the cloak was the note that he received in Philosopher's Stone
mm-hmm.
when he first got the cloak, saying that it was time it was returned to you.
Ah, yeah. There was something that's really about voice down interesting.
Yeah.
Now, how is it you felt once you heard, you know, your theory being read and kind of the discussion that it generated and hearing it on Pottercast?
Oh, well, first off, I was shocked because I don't read any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the message boards, I've never listened to Pottercast. So I had no clue any of this was going on whatsoever. And then afterwards, it was like, wow. It's kind of, the past couple weeks, I've been walking around in, like, a shock that just, I got so many people talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
And just... it was, I didn't think, I just used this as like a little hobby to keep my mind busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that my little hobby could possibly get anybody talking.
I was wondering perhaps if you had another theory that you wanted to share with us, see if we could again set the theories afire and, you know, start a new discussion about something else.
Okay. I have a theory about the wizard performing magic late in life. Or the person.
This is something that, you know, Joe's talked about often. Everyone has, you know, theories, something about Petunia, things like that. So
my theory is that Dudley is the one who will perform magic late in life. His memory that he relived with the Dementors was that of him doing magic as a young child after throwing a fit because he couldn't get his way. This memory was probably before Harry lived with the Dursleys. Petunia knew that Dudley was a wizard, which is why he's so spoiled. She didn't want him to become angry and accidentally perform magic. Petunia made a deal with Dumbledore that by taking in Harry and raising him, Dudley's name would be erased from the books at Hogwarts and no one but the two of them would know what Dudley really was.
I think that is, you know, when you first talked about it, I thought it was pretty interesting because it does explain a lot of things, you know, like why Dudley is so spoiled and... when Dumbledore says to the Dursleys, you know, that they've been abusing Dudley, and Dudley's just like, what? Why am I abused? Like, I'm happy and well-fed, and I have all this stuff. So.
Yeah, it's like by them putting thoughts about wizards into his head and not allowing him to be who he truly is, it turned him into something, well, what he became. Instead of just accepting what he was and dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, do you think that the Remember My Last letter, which Dumbledore says to Petunia, has a reflection on the fact that, you know, you believe Dudley is a wizard? Do you think that the Remember My Last ties into that some way?
Yeah. That howler, I think it's reminding her of the deal that, you know what, you take Harry in and raise him, and I'll keep it quiet about Dudley. But if you turn Harry out or don't take him, well, then Dudley is going to be brought out to the public to know what he is.
Yeah, that's...
Because in Order of the Phoenix, Dumbledore tells Harry, I thought she might need reminding of the pact she had sealed by taking you.
Mm-hmm.
So just another one of those things that kind of jumped right out at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good that you take a lot of... There's so many clues that Joe leaves. You're kind of collecting so many of them and helping, putting them all together to, you know, come up with a possible theory.
It's hard, though. She is a genius.
She is.
The way she either puts these little things in along with complete nothing, so you wouldn't even think that it's a clue. I've never read any books,
mm-hmm.
like authors who write like that. It's amazing.
Joe, you rock. And of course, after reading the last book, we'll be like, oh, obviously that was what that was.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us today, Angela.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for Canon Conundrums. Listen in as our panel tries to figure out one specific issue from the Harry Potter canon.
Who could possibly figure that out?
And we're back with Canon Conundrums for Pottercast 86,
woo!
The long-awaited cover edition with our friend Mr. Vander Ark.
Yay!
And me and the Susie lady. Hello. Most of us tending to Mushka, taking Mushka for her daily walk.
Walking the cat.
Well, here for her.
We're talking about covers.
Mushka is very demanding.
We're talking about covers.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the covers of Deathly Hallows that we have
the
seen.
The Starship
the adult
Enterprise
edition.
Now.
The 2K
yes!
edition.
Thank you, Steve. I knew
you're
you
welcome.
Would say that. Yay.
Absolutely. Okay.
Where's the Starship
oh, John,
Enterprise? I love
look.
That show.
It's got the Starship Enterprise in it.
Which cover?
On the picture of Hogwarts getting frozen up by the dying trees of the
oh, yes,
Deathly
yes.
Forest.
Look up
sorry,
in the
I didn't
cloud.
Say Deathly.
Come on.
Yeah, there's the Starship Enterprise. It's the ultimate crossover.
That'd be the awesomest tie-in ever.
So Spock wakes up and it's all been a dream.
Spock. Aw.
Well, it's the holodeck. It's the holodeck. The whole thing has taken place in the holodeck.
Oh.
And we get the grid lines of yellow and on black, and they walk out and get back to work.
Must have been a problem with the safety
okay.
protocol.
We're done, then. We can quit, right?
Awesome.
So you think then Snape is Spock. Is that it? I'm going to start that new rumor.
Ooh,
oh, man.
Snape is Spock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not.
That's not logical.
No.
So what'd you think, Steve? I mean, fabulous.
Of the covers? Oh,
yeah.
Man. We got three covers to mess with here.
Yeah.
So which one do you want to talk about
yeah.
first?
Let's talk about the easiest one first. Let's talk about
oh,
the adult
yeah.
edition.
There's an easy one? Okay. Would that be this classic
well, the
one?
Well, the adult edition. It's a darn horcrux.
What is
it? The adult?
Right? The adult edition.
Okay. Let me switch back to that there. Yeah, you're talking about the one with the little locket thing on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the locket.
Slytherin's yeah. locket. Sure. Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool because that's something I've tried drawing before, mm-hmm. and I've tried modeling
mm-hmm.
in 3D, and the seat with, like, jewels on it.
Sure.
I don't recall that being described in the book, but
well, it has
cool
some sort of inscription. Harry looks
visual.
When he pulls it out, and or when they pull it out, they see it doesn't. When he pulls it out of anyway, but he sees that it doesn't have
and,
inscriptions. It's just plain. So.
And it's talking about the one that they find in Grimmauld Place, or the one.
No,
that
I'm talking
describe.
About the one after the whole cave sequence. When he
because
looks at
maybe
it.
Maybe the one that we're seeing is the one that was. The actual
the real
horcrux,
that
the
is
fake
correct.
Horcrux.
The one that they, and again, this is an assumption, but I think we're all assuming that the locket from Grimmauld
well,
Place is.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this? Was it described as being so like elaborate, encrusted?
No.
In, I mean, that's
ornate.
No. Thank you, John. That's the word.
No,
I mean,
it was just sort of mentioned in passing, almost like it was not supposed to be something we noticed.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
what I was really surprised at the you know, because the way that the green, the emeralds are there are really striking. It makes it look like a snake, you know?
Right. So you're thinking,
yeah.
of course, and we don't, it's not described, so that picture's not canon, but
yeah.
Still, you're saying that probably should have mentioned that if it was...
Yeah.
So obvious, right? When they
yeah.
found the locket.
Yeah. That's why I was really surprised at first when I saw it. I was like, well, that's a beautiful thing, but it never struck me that it would be so elaborate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My wonder is, did somebody actually, you know, model that? Or did somebody actually create that? Like, physically, a jeweler or something? Create that because that'd be a beautiful piece to have. But I wonder if the Noble Collection
would
oh,
be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
that would.
I totally would have that.
Yeah. Well, we saw a lot of jewels though, especially on the children's edition of the UK one. Now we're talking about jewels.
Oh yeah,
what's going
that's
on?
That is an interesting cover.
Yeah. Somebody said that Ron looks confused because he's never seen that much money before.
Oh, that's cruel.
Ron is confused by the money. I know.
So the big question, are they coming or going?
What do you
say?
They're falling.
Are they coming toward us or are they being sucked away from us? Look at Hermione's hair. And Ron's and Harry's. They're moving away from us. Mm-hmm. They're not falling forward, or the hair would be going the other direction. So they are definitely going away from us, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So whatever they are, whatever thing that they found, is it a port key? Did something just grab them, or are they getting dragged into another dimension, or where are they with all this treasure is?
Maybe they're getting pulled into the Phantom Zone.
Ah.
Well, Steve, that's a good question, because a lot of people, you know, my first inclination at first was this is Gringotts, you know?
A lot of Gringotts theories.
Yeah. And I didn't know.
It's funny because I never thought of that, but okay.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have this whole, you know, Dungeons and Dragons thing going on when I think about Harry off on a quest to find Horcruxes. So, you know, it seems to me that I've played enough D&D to know that, you know, at the end of somewhere along the line, you're going to open up a door and find the big old treasure, and then you're going to get your hit points. So, or your experience points. So I was kind of thinking in those terms that they were searching for it, and then they came across this amazing room full of treasure, and they think they have the right Horcrux, and they grab it, and you know,
Cape of Wonders.
All of a sudden, one thing that really bothers me, though, and this is jumping into stuff about Deathly Hallows, but you know, if you think about where the cave scenario, Harry would have had absolutely no chance. So I'm really curious if she's going to be able to keep up that level of really clever dark magic to hide these things. And then again, maybe what we're looking at here, they can stumble onto this and think they're doing okay, and all of a sudden,
I've always contended that Larry would have absolutely had no chance in that cave by himself, and it makes you wonder if, you know, is that the most well-guarded Horcrux? Did Dumbledore happen to find the one that was guarded the, you know, most, or the best by Voldemort, and everything else will be, like, you know, easier than that, or is someone going to be able to help them with this?
Or for that matter, would Dumbledore have been able to do it by himself? It took two people.
No.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
You know, Dumbledore would not have been able to drink that potion on his own. He would not have been able to
True.
Do it. So,
but anybody could have done that, though. Any person of any degree of power could have drank the potion for Dumbledore.
Well, not necessarily, because only they would not have been able to cross the lake. The boat would not have transported enough magical power to have been... It would have had to have been somebody who was fully qualified wizard. But anyway, we're kind of getting off track here. But assuming that this would be part of their quest to find Horcruxes, which is what I was thinking as opposed to Gringotts, but although Gringotts could be the place, then you start looking at all the little objects in there. And, oh, my goodness me. You've got
you
know, a helm there in the front, and you've got the you know, who I'm assuming is Dobby, judging by the ears sticking out behind Harry and the hand on his shoulder. Somebody's riding on his back with a sword there.
We've heard it could be a goblin at Gringotts, though, too. Because of the description of goblins versus the physical description of elves.
Not really, because the skin would be the wrong color. But on the other hand, I don't trust that the artist necessarily got it all right. Goblins are described as having reddy skin, so they would be a reddish-colored skin.
Yeah, because why would a goblin hold those? See, that's the thing. Why would the goblin hold what possibly is the Sword of Gryffindor?
Too short to really be the Sword of Gryffindor, but sure, that's a short sword. And it's got it's got two jewels on the hilt, but that's it. So that would not... I mean, but again, I'm not going to trust this artist to have gotten things like that necessarily correct, but I'm thinking it's a house elf. But.
So do you think...
It could be a creature out for helping
there
everybody.
You go.
Yeah. Well, he would be bound, though, to be...
The mudblood gets sucked into the void next to me. I will not speak with her.
That's hilarious. I don't know. But you're talking about the objects, though. So talking about those things. See, my first, you know how I am obsessed. That I was thinking that these are, like, some of the things... You know, I was hoping that one of those is the cup of Hufflepuff and, you know, because there's all the colors of the four houses in there, if you look.
There's a green thing and a yellow thing and a red thing and a purple thing. Oh, wait.
Well, the armor looks a little bluish to me. I don't know.
Oh, okay. The thing on the left is armor, along with the helm. I was looking at that kind of wondering what sort of large, strange vessel that was full of coins, but it's not. That's a breastplate, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a shield and, interesting. Okay. Guess I should look a little closer.
The funny thing for me about this possibly being at Gringotts is that one of my oldest theories about this book, and it's kind of my screw-around theory, is that they're going to find the rest of the Horcruxes in Voldemort's Gringotts vault, and they're just going to break into it. They're all going to be right there, and Harry's just going to get a big hammer and start going to town on these things.
I think it'll take more than a hammer to get rid of a Horcrux, but
Well,
some sort of device.
You know, because let me ask you this. It was, so one of the theories floated was that this is Dumbledore's vault. And I don't know if I buy that. Yeah, and I just don't see him as being...
Right.
I mean, I understand he would do it as a way to continue.
I think if it was Dumbledore's vault, you'd see a nice pair of socks.
Yeah. Bag of, what do you call it? Lemon drops or whatever
Birdie
those are.
Oh yeah, sherbet lemons. Yeah,
sherbet
lemons. Lemon drops. Let's not get all American here. It's sherbet lemons. So what about all the wounds?
Well, see,
I mean,
that's why
you look at Hermione's arms are just you know, they've obviously been through something here.
Yeah.
Harry's sleeve is all looks like it's been burned and it's pretty nasty.
I think they got attacked by a pack of boat truckles.
Yeah. Boat truckles.
But see, if it was, what if they were just like hurled through like some force, or if there had been like, you know, so then that would make sense that their arms, they had gone through glass or something, that they were cut, or if they had gone through like a thing, you know, in the first book when you had to go through the chamber, the winged keys or whatever that was,
right? That's
and they
true.
Got all cut up. So maybe they had to do something like that. I don't know.
Well, of course, all of the defenses in Book One are so pathetic that, you know, clearly...
I know. Don't even get me started on those.
And not only that, but Quirrell was looking at the mirror, trying to get the stone to give to his master, not to use himself. So he should have gotten it right then, according to Dumbledore's logic. But that's beside the point. Let's move along.
So we've
got a house elf on the back of Harry. We've got wounded people being sucked into the red and yellow void. You notice it is red and yellow where they're going.
Yes.
So it's Gryffindor world. So it's kind of, I've been playing Super Paper Mario and everything is like sucking into pipes now for me. But, you know,
well,
you gotta wee, you gotta enjoy it.
I'm not even gonna go there.
Okay. Well, let's look at the back, because I find this just absolutely terrifying. These trees reaching out. I'm assuming that this is either, you know, another crossover and it's the Ents come to town, or...
I know, Hagrid convinced the Ents took them forever.
And is that or is that not the giant squid's tentacle in the front of that picture?
You're kidding. Really?
Well, look at it. That doesn't look like a tree. All the rest are trees. They're shaped differently, except the one in the middle, which looks like a tentacle. I'm just saying here, okay?
That'd be awesome, man. The squid would come out and launch you to the battle.
The best ally.
Right.
Ever hope.
I'm expecting the giant squid in the final battle. And since Dumbledore is a giant squid, he's dead now, so it doesn't matter. But
Dumbledore's a giant squid.
Yeah. Haven't you been on the Lexicon Forum? It's one of our favorite theories over there.
No, I guess not.
Anyway, moving along. So we've got a castle which is getting encased in snow or ice. Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not normal Hogwarts. We're seeing Hogwarts !icy or icy !! Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Right? And the Enterprise flying above it in the full moon. Right?
Yeah.
Are you still with me there?
I am. I thought that was like a spaceship. I did, and I cracked up, and I really did.
Well, it is. It's the Enterprise. But do you see what I'm talking about the ice kind of climbing up the castle side, head of the castle there?
I don't know if...
I gotta look again.
I mean... We're seeing the dirt in front of it, the ground, and it's green.
But the steps, you mean? You think that's ice?
No, that's not. Behind that, creeping up the side, grabbing onto those towers.
See, I just thought that was moonlight, because that was the moonlight bathing the ground white.
Could be.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be. I think it's the giant squid turning everything to ice with his little tentacles.
That's awesome. I love that theory.
Where did he get powers?
It is. I think the giant squid is Voldemort. I think Voldemort is living in the lake.
No way!
How many people can he be?
No way.
He's the greatest dark wizard of all time. Certainly he could become a giant squid.
But then why, if he hates, you know, muggles, and why would he save Colin Creevy then, you know, if that was Voldemort? So that shoots a big theory in there.
Oh, well, maybe he doesn't always inhabit the giant squid.
Okay,
so we got the big clouds coming in. See, that to me is a very threatening image. I'm seeing, when I look at this, I see this threatening storm cloud thing with this ice creeping up and some terrible magic, you know, kind of taking over the castle. That's what I'm thinking. On the other hand, that assumes
it's
that this
very,
is in
very
fact
bright.
You're right.
I was just thinking that, too. It's like, I think it's silly to assume that the only castle in the whole magical world is Hogwarts.
Right, and of course, then this whole thing we're seeing on the cover could be taking place in this castle, which could have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of looks
like... Well, answer me this. When Slytherin left Hogwarts, Where did he go? Could he have made himself a fortress?
Oh, certainly. Certainly he could have.
Could Voldemort have taken up this fortress as his headquarters?
Well, we do wonder where Voldemort's headquarters is. We've never, you know, nobody ever knows.
So we'd be looking at it on this cover. Could this be his headquarters? I think it'd be very cool if there was a mirror to Hogwarts as, like, you know, the beacon of good, to having a beacon of evil where Voldemort...
Well, I thought about Durmstrang. What about Durmstrang? That's not evil, but...
It's too tall for Durmstrang, actually. Yeah. Although, again, I don't necessarily trust the artist to know that canon fact, but Durmstrang doesn't have that many floors.
Is that right? Wow. See, yes. Steve,
much
I did
smaller.
Not know that. That's very good.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's, I think it's, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Hogwarts, but,
yeah.
But you know, the option is there. It could be something else. I mean, Hogwarts might not be the only one with a giant squid.
Yeah. I also just noticed something. I think it's, I'm very confused of, to what Sirius's grim, like, dog form is
what
doing
is?
In the backyard.
What are you talking
of,
about, the little cat?
No, that's
the Bloomsbury logo.
John!
Oh, Marcus, Sirius, isn't it?
I'll go with it. I'll run with it.
I thought Sirius had, like, an arrow from the centaurs,
okay,
and he was...
Okay, then.
Returning. I thought that... That's a logo.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's on the back of my other Bloomsbury
it's,
book.
It's with the words Bloomsbury right underneath it. It's a big dead giveaway.
So, little
a
animal
nice
or cat or dog
that
or
word,
something.
I
yeah,
thought, but...
If you're going
to
believe what you're thinking of there, then this copy of Half-Blood Prince has a little animal running around on the island in the middle of the case.
Sirius gets around.
Yeah. Okay.
Sirius gets
oh,
around.
Oh, for heaven's sake, you too. Good grief.
I guess that's
no.
not correct.
I see.
So
now, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I need
mm-hmm.
to ask you because it's driving me crazy. I don't know mm-hmm. what that on the very back thing on the inside flap, I guess. It's some sort of remember-all or some prophecy globe. You're, what is that thing?
Are we talking about the snake
yes.
globe?
Yes.
Is it one snake or two?
Well, I don't know.
And is it one snake that's colored Slytherin color on one end and Gryffindor colors on the other?
Which where's
on
the
door? On the children's ones, John, all the way over. It's the inside flap. You go all the way to the left.
All the way to the left? Oh yeah.
See that?
And we've got a snake writhing in a crystal ball or an orb or something like that.
Well, heck, mm-hmm. it's, you know, what about the whole, you know, the silvery instrument with the two snakes?
You know,
connected
I thought of that
and...
right away, too. I thought about, what about the two snake smoky thing that intertwined and Dumbledore seemed to get it and didn't bother to tell everybody else.
Oh, that you mean the thing that was on his desk in his
right,
office?
Right, on one of his little tables, spindly
tables.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But that was not this. I mean, this is a crystal ball or something like that. But I don't know. Anytime you see a snake, right away think Slytherin, but...
You know, I think when Melissa and I talked about this when we did our thing, like, right away, I think we... Or maybe I thought, I don't know. Was it Nagini?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could be Nagini.
Well, I think it's odd that it looks like, you know, the snake is dying from, like, its the end to the head, and it's gradually crawling up its body. And it,
so, because
it
looks
know,
like it's changing color, doesn't
way
it?
Out. Yeah, like it's, like, you know how sometimes when they animate things dying,
uh-huh.
they turn, like, gray
right.
or, like, a white kind of nothing mm-hmm. color?
Sure.
Yeah,
and the reflections are interesting, too. I mean, if you look at the side of the snake, it almost looks like a reflection of the snake's head. On the side of it? See
it
that?
Does.
You
wow.
know, I don't think it's another snake head, but... and so, but it's hard to tell. You know, those are the kind of things that it's really easy to kind of get
yeah.
really excited about, but
yeah.
probably it's just...
Well, if you scroll back over to the other side, we will notice that that's prongs, the Patronus, on the other inside slab.
Right. Well, obviously, yeah. so, yeah. It's Harry's Patronus.
But
I
now,
love the little smile. I don't know if that's supposed to be there, but I just think that's beautiful.
He's happy.
But see, now, the big theory, though, Steve, this has been the big raging... If you look closely at his chest, that
uh-huh.
looks like either a fox or some sort of thing, or and then on the side, that looks like a wolf. They're trying to say that's a wolf or a... I mean, do you see any hidden animals?
Oh, God, yeah, I do see
yeah?
that.
Oh.
That's creepy.
So...
Like
if I say that I think that's probably
Megamore.
Reaching, is that going to make people mad at me?
No. We want to hear this.
Hey, we're fans. We never reach.
No.
We don't just...
I see it too right away. I could totally see, like, Harry's Patronus and, like, you know...
I think it kind of looks like the front
Patronus
of a
and everybody's
tuxedo,
morphing, like Power Rangers
with the ruffly
style.
Things, the ruffly, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a Patronus in dress robes. I think it's all it is.
No, this is totally... No, this is the Ultra Zord
a Patronuses.
No.
They morph together.
No. He's just shedding. It's that time of year. He's shedding his winter coat.
I don't know.
I really do like the little expression on that animal's face. I don't know if that's intentional or whether, you know,
like,
stags typically smile.
He's a really happy
like a smiling
Patronus.
Stag.
He does.
Let's move on to the number one mystery of the entire cover.
Yes.
The triangle circle logo.
Yes, thank you.
What is that?
What is that?
Huh? What is that? Well, I'm looking at a copy of Half-Blood Prince here, a Bloomsbury copy, and it has, up on the top, same exact spot, it has the ring, the black stone ring. So I think it's clear that it's something important. You know, you can't just say, oh, she just, whoever the artist is. I said she, because I was thinking of Mary Grand Prix, but I know it's
not.
But what we're looking at is an important detail, so it's not just a throwaway little thing. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's... Has anything like this appeared anywhere in the books before? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, I think it's the Triforce of Light.
Right. Moving right along. there's different ways of looking at this. We've got a three lines coming down.
Right.
You know what I mean? So something breaking into three and bisecting a circle. So, I don't know.
It's like the trio being broken, or...
Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at the other one and I see the ring, which there's no way we could have guessed that until we actually got it in the book,
right.
I'm guessing that we really can't have any idea really what this is. I'm sure it is a something. It's not just something the artist made up to represent something. I'll bet it's some sort of important symbol on something, but we won't know until we read the book, so...
Well, do you think it could be...
And I'm going to be reading the book at some point, probably sometime in July, maybe August, I don't know.
Maybe August? No.
Yeah, you know, I might
get to it.
I got things to do.
I'm waiting for the Braille edition.
And then to learn Braille.
Learning.
The other thing.
I'm learning.
Yeah.
So you don't think that it could possibly be just the... I don't know. I mean, we've heard so many theories online, you know, what it could be, but you could... I just thought it was maybe just the rune for the Horcrux.
Mm-hmm.
Would that make sense? I mean...
It could be, but like I said, I think that we're just never going to be able to guess.
Yeah.
Until, because I think my guess is, I guess what I'm saying is that I think it will be something actually important to the story.
Yeah.
It's not just sort of in passing. I mean, if you think about that ring.
Oh, that's true.
Although, you know, it wasn't critical to the story, but.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of the way I look at it.
So, John, though, what'd you call that? The Triforce of Life? What'd you call that?
Yeah, this is the Triforce.
Okay.
I think that's a reference to Power Rangers or something, isn't it?
No.
What is it then?
Zelda.
Oh, Zelda. Sorry. Like I said.
Come on.
Got to get hip on our pop culture reference.
Our Nintendo games. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Full representation.
So, okay,
so,
just quick overview, though. I want to know from both of you, what do you guys think of these covers over? I mean, do you think this is like the best covers that they've done for these? Or, I mean, this is the last book.
I like this better than I liked, I don't know, I guess I'll have to wait until I read it and figure out just how much they represented the book, but as far as just visuals, then this is definitely probably the most elaborate.
But you're talking about the UK covers specifically? Or are you talking about all covers?
Just the UK covers compared to the other UK covers.
This is, I think it's, I almost get the impression that this time they decided they were going to put some clues in there and have some fun, because we've been doing that with Mary Grand Prix stuff for years, you know, for several books now, but we haven't really done it quite so much with the UK ones. But then to put that rune on there, to put the Starship Enterprise is, you know, an obvious ploy.
Totally.
So. That'd be fun to talk to. I'd like to interview him afterwards, because I'm sure he can't say anything now, but, you know.
Oh, the artist?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? And talk about, what is it, why did you choose those particular images? Why did you choose, maybe it'll be obvious to us, you know. I mean, when I look at the cover of Half-Blood Prince, for example, why did they have that particular event? Well, I know it's a particularly important event in for Harry and Dumbledore, but it also has one of the great action sequences in the book. And so it gives them something a lot of the times, otherwise you've got a huge book without a lot of these really big set-piece action sequences, and that clearly is with the flames around and things like this. But
Yeah, but I just was struck, too, by how older they are, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care for their mm-hmm. expressions, but I just mm-hmm. I was just really struck by just mm-hmm. Harry's a young man right there.
Yeah, definitely. Little, definitely.
You know?
Sure.
That just...
Wow. So do we want to quick just kind of go through the text down there, too, as long as we're at it?
Sure.
Harry is waiting in Privet Drive. The Order of the Phoenix is coming to escort him safely away without Voldemort and his supporters knowing, if they can. But what will Harry do then? How can he fulfill the momentous and seemingly impossible task that Professor Dumbledore has left him with? Here's my one thought on that. I don't know if you want to go off on it, but
yes.
I looked about that and I think, Harry is waiting in Privet Drive. Why? Why doesn't he just apparate out? He can do that. So something happened. He said he was going to go to Privet Drive. He has to do that first. So imagine now the end of Book 6. He yeah. gets on the Hogwarts Express, gets off in King's Cross, goes right away to Privet Drive, which gives him protection. Why is he suddenly in danger? Did he end up there and it's his birthday and
yeah.
didn't think about the fact that the protection was going to run out at midnight on the 30th? Or
how many times has he apparated, though?
Well, he apparated Dumbledore and himself away from the cave back to Hogsmeade, yeah. so he can do it.
So they think that maybe like they want to make sure for good, you know, he can do
so
this.
So you think that they're still going to...
He doesn't have his license yet.
Okay. No, I'm guessing it wouldn't stop him, but okay.
Yeah.
So, I just wonder about that. It struck me when I first read it, and I'm still thinking that, why is he just waiting around in Privet Drive for the Order of the Phoenix? I mean, that was 2 books ago. He's changed so much
That's
since
true.
The beginning of Book 5, you know?
Right.
For him to be sitting around yeah. hoping for the advance guard.
Yeah, I know, and we keep thinking about the theory, though, that, you know, maybe something happened to the Dursleys, so,
mm-hmm.
you know...
Yeah.
If something had happened in there, why wouldn't he hightail it out of there, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know. Wow.
And it says, without Voldemort and his supporters knowing, not that they right. know and are under attack, but they're just hoping that he doesn't stop them, basically. So, you know, I could be worrying for nothing, but
mm-hmm.
I just think, oh, man, I can't
I
wait.
Know.
I can wait, actually, but, oh, it's going to be amazing to read this and hear
sure.
all the, oh, man.
Wow.
All coming together and all the pieces and all the work to do on the lexicon.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just going to start weeping. Every time I see a new spell, oh, no, please.
No.
Oh, why couldn't you use one you've already got? Look it up. There's plenty.
Oh, plus you got all this new game stuff, so there'll bound to be new spells in there, too. So it'll be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, that's going to be... Oh, I can't wait to get playing that. You know, I got a Wii, and I can't wait to get the one going.
You do have a Wii, too?
Well,
I'm
yeah.
the only one that's got a Wii. Man.
That's pathetic. Oh, yeah, I know. I can't wait to play it on the Wii. I think it's going to be terrific. Yeah.
Awesome. Sorry.
Anyway.
Nothing to do with the cover.
Well.
All right. I'm sorry. Getting off. Are we going to finish up?
What
are we?
Are we
going to talk about it for another half hour about the other cover at some point, right? We got another whole cover to do.
Yeah, well, we will get to the U.S. cover in a future conundrum. I don't really think we can have a conundrum conclusion here because it wasn't really
another
a question. It was just talking about
mm-hmm.
the cover.
I would say my conclusion,
so,
we didn't ask a question, so how can you give an answer? But my conclusion is that it's the giant squid's tentacle coming up in front of iced over Hogwarts as the Starship Enterprise flies over, and Harry, Ron, and Hermione, after tripping and stumbling and scraping themselves, are getting sucked into the Gryffindor world through a pipe and taking treasure with them. And on Harry's back is a house elf wielding a short sword. How about that?
Awesome.
And the Patronus is molting, and the little symbol means this is the last book. Goodbye.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah.
What's your...
My only theory is that the Patronus is a morphed version of resembling the werewolf and the fox, since Sue brought that up. I will subscribe to that theory as being correct.
Wow, so much. Joe... Okay.
Well, tune into Future Conundrum for discussion about the U.S. cover art. We're just going to keep talking about this all through until this thing comes out. No,
we'll
probably
trailer to look
other
at.
Things too, but
yes, we do.
We do have a trailer to discuss, probably some more in depth next week. But well, let's get Melissa back in here and finish the show.
Okay,
right.
Well,
good
to see you again, Steve. Thanks.
You bet.
Right.
We'll get back and talk about some more of this stuff. All right, take care.
Yep. Later.
And now exclusively here on Pottercast, we have for you a special preview of the Wizards and Muggles Rock for Social Justice CD. This compilation CD contains music from your favorite Harry Potter rock bands, including Harry and the Potters, Draco and the Malfoys, the Remus Lupins, the Whomping Willows, and many more. Proceeds from the sale of the CD will benefit the Harry Potter Alliance, which is an organization that aims to help people find ways to use their mutual love of Harry Potter to promote humanitarian and social goals. You can buy a copy of the CD at myspace.com/cheaprent. That's myspace.com/cheaprent. Enjoy!
Oh my god, what has happened to me? I was minding my own business, so busy Harry. And now I find myself all calling furry. And in a cramped space that is kinda smelly. Oh my god, I remember Mad Eye Moody pointing his wand, and then a flash of bright light, and I dropped to the ground and I ran. Oh god, I think I know where I am. Oh my god, oh my freaking.
Okay, we're back. Great show, great show. Lots of heated trailer discussion.
Great show, great show.
Guys, Phoenix Rising is so soon.
I'm so excited to go. It's going
to
be so fun.
I can't wait to see New Orleans.
Less than a month.
For those who have been asking about Habitat for Humanity, here's the deal. We need people who can drive. We need more cars. We can't have more people come to Habitat for Humanity on the morning of the 17th if more people don't drive. So if you are renting a car for the weekend and want to take part, if you have a car and you live around there and want to take part, please let us know so that we know how many cars we have to fill up. And next week we'll tell you how many spots are open to go to the place and work on the house with us on the 17th. Cool?
Is that what we're doing? We're working on a house?
Yeah, that's what Habitat for Humanity is.
Okay,
you go and
cool.
You build houses.
Yeah.
It's fun.
We have them.
Someone sent in an email saying, like, if we're going to be actually going to the places that were devastated, uh-huh, that haven't been touched in however long it's been, to, like, wear clothes that you'll never wear again or something because
right,
everything is, like, rotted away.
Yeah, well, that's a good plan for anybody who's planning on going down there.
Plus, there's a lot of mold and mildew because of the water.
Yeah.
So.
Wear, like, a mask.
Well, I'm sure we'll have all the safety supplies because that's a big, Habitat for Humanity is very big.
I love construction. I used to build things when I was little all the time.
With your Legos or your Lincoln Logs and all this kind of thing?
No, with wood. I go to my grandpa's wood shop in his basement.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
So you're our own little Bob Vila. That'll be awesome.
Hey, yeah, I'm just old house.
Excellent.
Great.
That's going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait. It's really, really early in the morning on the 17th. Really early.
The 17th is when?
The
day after we get in?
Thursday, the day after we get
there. Is that the day of our podcast, don't you?
Yes, that is the day of our podcast.
Wow.
That's awesome. I can't wait for my nap.
And the Wizard Rock thing, so we need to take like a little siesta.
Yeah,
talk about
so.
A huge nap.
John's all worried about his big 5 hours of travel. He's going to be jet-lagged.
Hey, what do you mean my 5 hours? How many is your trip?
Your whole trip is 5 hours. Mine's
How
like
much
four.
Is yours?
Like four.
My trip is considerably longer than that because I have a layover in Texas.
I counted the layover, my dear. I made the reservation. It's 5 hours. Total travel time.
I could swim there in that time.
I love
you
it.
You do that.
Leaky travel with Melissa and John. There we go.
love it.
Seriously.
So what a hang glide there.
Hang glide? Have you ever hang glide before? There's no way I would do
that. No, I'm actually terrified to hang glide.
I would crash right into a mountain. No doubt about it in my mind.
You would crash into a mountain in Indiana.
In Indiana.
I have something cool I want to talk about. Because we spent, everybody, a lot of leaky people spent a lot of time and effort onto this project that will have a greater presence soon on the site and on the homepage. But we talked about it last week. You guys and all of your masterful theories need to get them down solid, written in stone, locked in with Leaky's official predict Deathly Hallows, the ultimate exam.
Yay!
And you can find that at, what did we call the cool thing? DH or...
LeakyNews.com/DH quiz?
/DH quiz is fine. Yes, and there'll be a button on the homepage soon, and you register. And all you people who have already taken it and have gotten error messages because it got more popular than we thought it was even going to be, you can still go in there and edit your answers. And we'll be able to do that up to a certain point in time before we close down the test in case spoilers come out. But
seriously, think about the person who gets the most things right. That
honestly,
person will be labeled like the Grand High Poobah fandom.
You know, we can put out a whole press release about them.
Yeah,
this person predicted the whole book. I mean, more than anybody else. I mean, I think that would pretty much deem them worthy of a phone call from Joe, if I was Joe.
If I was Joe,
I would be like, I would want to talk to the person who was
pretty much
in my head while I was writing this book. What do you think
of
that?
The world would be a much different place.
Lady?
I think that'd be pretty cool, but then again, you know, what if it's Joe who took the test?
That'd be awesome. We could ask her that after the book
great.
Comes out.
She should do it under a pseudonym, and we'll never know.
Yeah, I know.
I said it to Cheryl, too. I'm like, you could do it under a pseudonym. We'd never know. She's like, no, I can't do it. We'd never know. We wouldn't know until we read the
yeah.
book.
Uh-huh.
That, and then, of course, that person would get disqualified, of course.
Well, of course. Yeah, that'd
be awesome.
But, you know, it's funny. We got an email from somebody who was really concerned, who said, Melissa, it sounds like you're friends with Cheryl. How will you avoid being spoiled? Guys, you don't know Cheryl. Don't worry.
You do not know Cheryl.
She is like, she's like the Pentagon with information. You cannot, she is awesome.
I mean, last time I saw her, I tried, actually, I took some rope over to her apartment and tied her down, and I took a little feather tickler thing.
No.
Tickled her for 3 hours. I'm like, come on, Cheryl. I'll tickle you for all day if I have to. And she would not...
No, you did not torture the editor of books. You did not tell the story.
It's not painful torture. It's tickling torture.
Right,
tickling torture is not offensive. tickle torture is fine.
Oh, gosh. No, he did not.
And luckily, Melissa came by an hour later to untie her from, the situation.
Talking about right now? Leave my friend alone.
What?
Leave her alone.
Oh.
She will never want to talk to you again, John. Poor Cheryl. Dear Cheryl, we're so sorry.
Right.
Love Pottercast.
For us. For me and Sue.
Oh.
No, and the other issue is that I don't want to know. I don't want to know a single blessed thing. And that is some serious, you people, you listening, you come across a spoiler librarian who get the book a couple of days early, people in bookstores who run bookstores and sneak into the pile,
yeah,
and you send it to us, I will hunt you down.
No, these people need to know if they think
I'm
they're
so
being
angry.
Funny and sending us spoilers,
or like cool,
they're
going to
get their butts
stuff?
Reported to Scholastic.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's immediately what happens.
You want to get in trouble, send us spoilers.
See?
There'll be legal action. Joe Rowling will be on your butt. It's just bad.
I will.
And don't do it just so you can get Joe Rowling on your butt, as tempting as that is.
No, not her personally. Her lawyers. Trust me, you don't want her lawyers. No.
They're not as attractive, and it's not as
nice people, but they are J.K. Rowling's lawyers. That should say everything right there.
Each lawyer has their own Rottweiler that they take around with them.
No.
Seek.
But seriously, no, we are not putting up with it. If I get spoiled for this book, you guys are going to hear me screaming from
Bloody Murder.
Too.
Yeah. I know, because last time I did see one of those spoilers, and I was not happy, because I tend to open a lot of mails.
I had the worst spoiler of the whole everybody.
What's that?
Somebody decided to email me and say that Ron swallows a Bezoar thingy, and that ruined the whole book for me, because then I knew at that point that they would find the fake Horcrux at the end of the story.
What?
That was an anagram.
Wait.
You didn't... No, you must not have figured that out at that point.
Oh.
There are a plethora of fake stories. Speaking of that, there are a lot of them out there. So, you know, I'm not going to believe any of these stories.
Gaines FAQ. Yeah. I'm sorry. Some guy pretended to be a Scholastic intern, or maybe he was really an intern. I don't know. And acted like he'd read the book and started giving out spoilers. Cut, guys.
Hello.
Interns don't read the book.
Yeah.
They don't. They don't.
Well, maybe while they were, like, filling the coffee of the person who did read the book, I could lean over their shoulder.
No.
We had that interview with the president and the CEO of Scholastic, and he says he didn't know. So if he's not reading the book, some lowly intern is sure as heck not going to be reading, and letting alone posting it on an obscure game site. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Need to read. Yeah, exactly. This person's an intern who wants to work in publishing and is posting the spoilers to Deathly Hallows on a website.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's not going to get you far in publishing, my friend.
Yeah.
Come on. So,
rocking those.
Well, guys, we're going to have a lot of stuff coming up in weeks. We're going to have a lot of fun announcements soon.
So much.
One in particular that I can't wait to make. Not to do with Joe. People who think that every time I think there's an announcement coming out that it's going to be that we're flying to Scotland.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Joe.
Joe's getting married.
What?
She is married, John.
She's married.
I know.
Kids, you know, doctor, husband.
Such a handsome boy.
He is. He's like Harry grown up, man. He is. He's handsome.
He really does look like Harry.
Does.
Sort of. It's amazing.
Well, that's how she wrote Harry. It was
all right. This is the longest podcast ever, guys.
I know. That sucks.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
We should leave.
Just go.
Now.
This whole thing's wasting time.
No, it's
all right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
We've missed it.
Dobby is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
5 o'clock.
No, I thought you were going to say sunflowers.
No,
don't,
I hate
don't
sunflowers.
Don't start him with the sun, Sue. I thought we were through.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm bad. I'm evil.
Oh.
I'm going to bag them. I'm going to throw them off my balcony.
Oh, I hope they don't get delivered all dead. She'll think you're like a weird, freaky stalker guy.
They will get there on Monday as dead sunflowers.
Oh,
they will.
Terrible.
I know. I'll warn her.
Here's
I'll be like, lady, you know, it's supposed to get here Friday, and now they're all dead, but whatever.
That sounds like some, like, bizarre songs. I'll give you dead flowers.
No.
So is anything not a song
no.
to you?
No.
I think maybe in another life I was one of those minstrels or minstrels that goes around, you know.
Minstrels?
I don't know.
A funny chance and everything?
Wow.
Shut up.
Minstrel, John. Get a dictionary.
Oh.
Minstrel.
Thank you, Melissa.
Oh,
nothing untoward about being a minstrel, okay? Despite your best efforts to make it otherwise.
I was going
to
say. Wow.
I hate you too.
That's awesome.
We can't even start this. I knew this day was going to be like this. As soon as we heard John freaking out over the sunflower. Oh, okay.
Warning incoming. Spoiler.
Okay.